Naftali reminded us that it is the yard side of the Ramah, the Moshe Isserlin. And I actually wanted to speak about it because learning his words every day, such a tremendous chiyah and zechus. And we know that there is a rule, pretty much, or at least a statement that is known. I think Chassam Sofer uses it many times. Hadi Gedolim also, that the Ashkenazi Sheyidin Yoytzim Biyad Ramo. We know the pasuk says in the Shira that the Klal Yisrael left with Yad Ramo, which is spelled Reish Mem Hey, a lifted hand. The Achronim used the expression that we don't only go, the Yidden didn't just go, the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim with the Yad Roma, with a lifted hand, but us, many generations later, the way we paskin, we always paskin with Yad Roma. And Yad Roma spelt not with the hey at the end, but Yad Roma, Reish Mem Aleph. We always go and we paskin like that with the hands, with the Roma. We always paskin with the Roma. And the truth is, it's pretty much a rule, pretty much a hacha, that we always go when it's a machlokes. You can't go wrong with the psak of the Rama. Yes, it's true sometimes we take into consideration of achronim, sometimes we move away a little bit, but generally as a rule of thumb we're passing like the Rama. Klal Yisrael yoytzim beyad Rama. Now and of course Rama stands for Ramosha Isselin. Contrary to popular belief, Isselin is the name of his father was Issa. Eb Issa. It's even today is there such a name. Eb Issa Zalman. Issa is a name Issa, Yiddish name Issa. And in the old German, old Ashkenazische Yiddish, there would be many Moshe's around in town. So how would you know which Moshe was the right one? So there would be a Moshe, son of Issa, a Moshe Isselin. And that's why very often you'll see that from those generations, he'll often be Issa's son Moshe, a Moshe Isselis. And that's why that's where it comes from. So Moshe. Now I want to just focus on the question: why is that we always pass like the Ramah? People say there's a tradition, which is an ancient tradition, which goes back many, many centuries. I can't verify it, but it's known. It's known as a story of the Rama. The Rama lived pretty much the same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo and Shulchan Aruch. They lived pretty much the same generation. One could probably verify it by looking up years of publication. I never actually checked, but that's the story that is known. That the Rama also wrote a codex, a Shulchan Aruch. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch as well. Truth is, there was quite a few attempted that in that generation. To write a Shulchan Aruch, a set halachas from the beginning of the day till the end of the day, string the halachas of the Yomim Tovim, etc., etc. To write, and many attempted to do that. And Rabbi Yosef Karo did what we know nowadays as the Mappa, the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama also did the same thing. He had the same idea of collecting all the halachas, hapsokim from the Rishonim, and streamlining it into a Shulchan Aruch, into a set halachas zefa. That's what he attempted to do. And he worked on it for a long time, until he heard Ramo lived in Kuka, in Krakow, which is in Europe. And he heard that there was another Yid that did very much the same idea, living far away, living in the north of Eretz Yisrael. His name, of course, was Rabbi Yosef Karo. His father, the Yid, who did exactly the same thing, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Now, without even, so the story goes, without even going into the details and looking exactly into all the halachas that his colleague, his contemporary, did, he took his own writings, his own, which was years of work, years and years of work, he took it like this, and he buried it and put it in Seamus, he put it away. Because he said, if somebody else got the idea, somebody's going to have to outdo the other, somebody's going to have to it's not going to be good. It's like a competition which is an unhealthy competition. It's not right either. Svarim in those days were very, very expensive, and it was impossible that both are going to manage. Either we're both going to drown in debt, or he's going to drown in debt, and I'll be successful, or vice versa. But it's impossible to both make a living from that sefer. So he decided, he took his own single hand, he took his sefer, and he put it in the Seamus, and that was the end of it, never to be seen again. He said it's not healthy if there's two the same. However, once he did get his own Shulchan Aruch, which he was trying desperately to get hold of, he managed to get the writings of his contemporary, his, I don't know if it's a colleague or adversary or competition, I don't know what you want to call it, but when he got hold of the Shulchan Aruch, the way we know, Rabbi Yosef Karo Shulchan Aruch, he then allowed himself to write Haoras, because at sometimes, rare occasions, he paskened differently. More commonly, he felt the Minhag in Ashkenaz, in European countries, was different than Rabbi Yosef Karo, than in Tzfas, in Eretz Yisrael, Tzfadim having slightly different minhagim. So he allowed himself to write slightly different a slightly different minogim that what he used to be doing different, also sometimes at the other occasions different achos, because of his incredible humility, because of his incredible self-negation and humility, that's what it is, and his not trying to push himself to the front, rather to step back for the benefit of the klal. Because of this unbelievable, unique midah, he was zoichet that we always pasken like him. It comes from that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that the hacha and the halacha goes like the Ramah, because of that incredible midah that he put away his own tzfarim. There's much to be thought about in this story, and again, I can't vouch for its emes, but that's the story that's been going around for many, many years, and I feel the story itself is a source for much thought. And as Naftali pointed out, his yahrzeit is today. He wasn't zeichet to live many years. He was nifta very young. He was nifta on Lag BaOmer. He was nifta as a young person. There's the shul which his father built in his honor, which is still standing in Kukka. But the schus of the Ramah in his midah should be zeichet to access that midah, and the schus should be we should thrive on that schus, especially us who really literally every day delve in his words. Should be a tremendous schus for Yeshua's and the Chomas for us and for Klal Yisrael Beis Hashem. Right now, we mentioned yesterday various continued halachas and various minhagim as to count the 33 days. I would like to point out something which I didn't mention yesterday, but is really important, which is the minhag of the Ari. I want to be in Rabbi Feingold's good books again, so I will not fail to mention this Ari. The Ashari Tshuva brings in our edition Sivkot and Ches, in other editions Sivkot and Dalet, depends which Shulchan Aruch, which Mishnah Berurah you use. He brings the minhag of the Ari, Uveshem Ari, Zichroni Levracha Kosvu, Sheloi Leistapa Klal, Ad Erev Chag Shavuos. We mentioned yesterday with regards to cutting the hair, we said it 33 days, depends on which minhag you go with. You can either go with the first minhag, and today, like Baim, will be the first day you're allowed to cut. Alternatively, you can go with the second half, which leads you to the Erev Shavuos. Whatever you do is fine and is good. You've got 33 days of minhag avelus. However, this is all according to Nigla. This is all according to the main halach and the basic halach, what comes out from Shas and Poiskim. The Ari HaKadosh says in the name of the Kabbalah, that there is it is right, it is proper, it is correct not to have haircuts until Shavuos, right across. Now I know there's much discussion about that, but he goes in further. He says the kosav beikas aramas soif simon base lefimin agari according to the Ari hafilu imizdam and brismila en leistap eklal bechol zman ha'oima. He said that if you go with the Ari, then you make a simcha, you're not going to have any haircuts. There's much discussion about this. I'm not familiar with the Kabbalistic implications of that, but one thing is clear and has to be stated, and I think that's a bit of a misconception at some hold. It is absolutely clear that he's not choylek, that he also understands that Shas and Poiskim is clear. Shas and Poiskim state 33 days. the Ari HaKadosh, according to Kabbalistic reason, felt as an additional element that we have to be taken into consideration. He felt that the tkufa between Pesach and Shavuos is a tkufa of din, is a tkufa, is a period of other serious issues, which therefore requires us to refrain from having haircuts until Shavuos. This is not directly connected to the Misa of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. It's something else. I mean, it could be that the original background has to do with it. We don't know how the Bnei Shalom runs the world, and it could be traced back to something initial common point. But it's not directly. Nobody holds that the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva took more than 33 days to decease. It was definitely only 33 days. But the Ari HaKadosh has other cheshbonis in mind as well, which the Shai Tshuva brings halacha lemaisa, and is common, universal, accepted minhag by the Chassidim and by the Sfaradim, but it's not what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Rabbi Feingold, have I given, would you agree, Hakun, to the Sifra Chassidus and Sifra Kabbalah, is this pretty much in line with what, Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Now, again? Yes. No. No. Right, okay. The Shulchan Aruch finishes off the Siman with the halacha, which is, I want to ask if anybody is noyik like that. Shulchan Aruch Siv Dalet states the following: Noshim, women. Noagwa Noshim, the custom of the women is, Shulelas is melacha, to refrain from doing melachas, not to do any, how should you translate melacha? How should we translate melacha? Activity, not to do melacha. Mi Pesach vada tzeres, from Pesach until atzeres. Mi shkia sacham of eilach, to do the shkia sacham period, the sun, from sunset onwards, we'll see for how long. Women refrain from doing melachas. And is the melacha prop? Pardon?
Don't tell anybody that.
Yes, so I agree with Rabbi Kagan. This is a let's see what Mishnah Berurah says. First of all, Mishnah Berurah says, Zivkon Yudches, Noshim, and that's probably the point that we also should keep quite secret. V'uadina Noshim, it's also men. This minig doesn't only apply to women, but guess what? It applies to us too. Not to the melachos from Shkias HaChaman onwards. Why so? There's two reasons brought down in Mishnah Berurah, second line, Zivkot Yudches. Two reasons why we refrain from doing melachos from Shkias HaChama onwards. Tatam, the reason is, Shenik Bruach Shkias HaChama. The Yidin that died, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they passed away after Shkias HaChama. And they were buried, they passed away during the day, but rather they were buried during after Shkias HaChama, v'hoyu ha'am b'telim ha'melach, and since this was very large levayas, we can only imagine, make a cheshbon, 24,000 divided by 33 days. Anybody got a calculator? How many is that per day? I'm serious, how many is that? 24,000 divided in 33 days? How much? About 800? Yeah? Where's Chaim? Where's Chaim Katanka? Come on! Okay, so we're talking about. So, is it 800 levayas a night? 800 levayas? 800 levayas? And yeah, and therefore the people shut down their shops. These were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and these were serious Talmidim Chachomim. Serious. So they obviously shops were closed, but people were not doing the melachas, people were not working. It would be wrong to start working, and whilst there's so many levayas taking place, there was a bitul melacha, an official bitul melacha, and therefore, in line with that, noshim, and as Mishnah Berurah says, anoshim also refrain from doing melachas after Shkias HaChama. Second reason, because that is the time of Sfiras Salim, we learned earlier, the earliest time to count the Oymah is pretty much then, from Shkias HaChama. I know we count later, but you could really count then. Over Oymah Ksiv, with regards to Oymah, it says, Sheva Shabbos is Temimois, Meloshen Shvus. Shabbos is, of course, comes from the word Shvus, which means refraining from stopping, from ceasing. Relaxing. Meloshen Shvus. Dehainu Bisman, Shibisman Asfira, in the time of the sphere, yeshlish boys melocha, you must stop from doing melocha activities. For the few times there, according to this reason, obviously, when can you start doing melocha? The few times there, achash sofa mutatech melocha. If you've counted, you can straight away. Once you've counted, you can straight to melocha. So the first reason is shkias acham was a time Yidden were buried. We don't do melochas. Second reason is because that's the time that we have a mitzvah upon us, and just like with so many mitzvahs, there is a rule in our halacha that we don't do anything before we do the melacha, before we do the mitzvah. So here also we refrain from doing melacha. We don't do any until we actually perform the mitzvah. Therefore, once you've counted, you can do melachas again. Now, there's one question which I have on the Mishnah Berurah over here. And that question is as follows. Gentlemen, do you do melachas after Shkia on Sfiras HaOymah? I'm not referring to lockdown. I'm talking about general years. I'm saying, are you normally just as active after Shkia HaChama? Or you take and have a custom of refraining from doing melachas? So Rabbi Kagan has given away the answer already. Rabbi Kagan, by the Kagans, they do melachas after Shkia. I'll tell you something. Patkas is too. We don't refrain from doing melachas, heavy activities after Shkia. In fact, we do. Anybody is noyikt? Anybody's got minik from? So the melachas here that we're talking about is generally talking about activities which are slightly more complex, slightly more complicated, burdensome, time-consuming. It's not referring to the 39 melachas of Shabbos. It's talking about the kind of melachas that are more complicated, complex, things that are a bit more difficult to do. Of course, brief, short things are permitted anyway, but I never heard of anybody, I don't know, you tell me, Mishpachas Dego, you refrain from doing things after Shkia? Generally, after Shkia, do you refrain from doing things, complicated activities? I mean, by us, everything is normal. I've never seen anybody, in fact, to be honest, to be fair, without exaggeration, I've never heard anybody who is makpid on this halacha, whether noshim or anoshim. I've never seen anybody of that. Of course, I don't know everything and I don't know everybody, but it seems to me if there is such a minik, it must be pretty uncommon. Reb Gideon, what do you want to say? I therefore was pleased to see that some contemporary poskim write there is no such minik already for many years. There is no such minik. I saw amongst others the Menashe Akutni writes about it, and other poskim as well. It seems to be widespread, global, and quite the norm not to be makpid on this, and people will do melachas both from Shkias HaChama and onwards, both noshim and anoshim. How and why we are
quite interesting that women aren't makpid anyway.
Very good point. Absolutely good point. Yeah, very valid point. That the noshim, who actually don't have Mekir Adin, they don't have to count, why is it on them? More than that, what the poskim actually say is that it comes out, according to the second reason, Rabbi Kagan points out women. According to the second reason, women don't count. According to the second reason of the Mishnah Berurah, you can only start doing melachas, it appears, once you've counted. Well, if women don't count, that means the whole night they can't do melachas until the next day. I don't know. It sounds very strange. Okay, Siman Tov Tzadi Dalet. Siman Tov Seder Tfilas Chag HaShavuos. We are discussing now the halachas of Shavuos. B'yom Chamishim is Tfilas HaOmer. On the 50th day of I forgot to mention something yesterday. I want to say about Lag BaOmer. The only halacha brought down about Lag BaOmer is what? The only thing which is brought down. No tachanum. That's the only thing brought. Everything else is more recent. It's obvious. I'm just pointing it out that even in Mishnah Berurah's times, people didn't do fires. That seems to be very, very recent. And also, even within the Tachanon, I saw today that there's a machloikas about Tachanon on Mincha. There's a machloikas as to whether one says Tachanon by Mincha. I think it's probably true to say that most people don't say Tachanon, but it's not so posh. I saw that it was Minogim in Europe not to say Tachanon Shachis, as the Ramah says, but by Mincha they said already Tachanon by Mincha. So that's all we have in Shulchan Aruch, and in Ramah is not to say Tachanon. Okay, Siman Tov Tzadi Dalet, say the Tfilas Chag Shavuos. B'yom Chamishim is Tfilas HaOmer. Huyoyim Chag HaShavuos, the 50th day is known as Shavuos. There's much discussion in the poskim why we keep 2 days, because really the Sfeik Diyom doesn't apply. So really, if we are able to count till 50, which most of us can, so you should be, once you know where Pesach is, you count 50 days, you know where Shavuos is, why do we keep 2 days? Remains a bit of a mystery. But we do keep 2 days Shavuos, right? To b'yom chamish shviyas ha'oimel chag Shavuos. For seder tefila, k'mo b'yom tishal Pesach, the davening is like on Pesach. Elo, the only difference being sh'oimrim es yom chag Shavuos zeh zman matn teraseinu. That we say yom chag Shavuos zeh zman matn teraseinu. At the shli goimre halal, we say the entire halal. Shavuos we say the whole halal because the reasons why we said half halal on the last days of Pesach, both reasons don't apply. Therefore, we say full halal. Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Aleph. B'yom Chamishin is Tfilas HaOmer. U'me'achin is Pal Arvis. We only have Marif late. So, now whilst the minig is that we daven Marif when it comes to all the Yomim Toivim, Pesach, Sukkos, we normally daven on the first day. We daven Mincha, and we follows straight by Maariv Shal Yom Tov. We do that every Yom Tov. So the exception to that is Shavuos. Shavuos we must daven by Nacht. Why? Beknisa Shavuos Betzesa Kichovim. We must daven Maariv by Nacht, by nightfall. Kedei in order she yemei asfira memtes yom tmimois. Because the counting must be 49 days. We must have Tamimois 49 complete days of counting. It therefore follows that the 50th day, which is Shavuos, must come after the completion of the... must come after the completion of the... that's right, 49th day. Therefore, we can only actually do Maariv at commencement of day 50, which is the Nacht of day 50. Many struggle with this concept. Yeah, Rabbi Feingold, why? Well, so let's get to another one minute. Let's just get to that 1 minute. Many struggle with the concept of 50, because when I'm with Makabel Yom Tov, when are we accepting Yom Tov on us? That late by Nacht? Pardon? No, we normally do earlier than that. Yeah, so normally by Shkia, the latest, we're going to be Mekabel Yom Tov. So not by Nacht, for it's too late. You can't do melachas after that. So if we're anyway mekabel Yom Tov, so what Yom Tov is it? What Yom Tov is it? It's Yom Tov of Shuas. So if you refrain from doing melachas, so you've accepted the Yom Tov already. It's the 50th day already. So why is that a non-contradiction to this Mishnah that says we've got to wait from Mari, we've got to wait for the 50th day by Nacht. Can't wait. We can't do Mariv earlier. Don't do Mariv by Shkia. Rather wait for Nacht. And I'm saying, well, you're not doing any. You know why you're helping by waiting for Nacht? Because really, you have to become. You have accepted Yom Tov already half an hour earlier, 3 minutes of an hour earlier with Shkia. So, whom are you trying to fool? What does he help? She's saying that if you're not doing Melach, right? So you're saying that. Because it's unofficial, we're just not doing melachas, so that helps. Why? So Rabbi Tepe is going to answer. She doesn't have to light the She doesn't have to light the candles yet. She can light much later. It remains a bit of a difficulty. Why are we waiting for Nacht? Do all the shuls wait for Nacht? On Shavuos, Rabbi Feingold, how is it in Shtibel? What?
Closed.
Yeah, okay, last year, 2 years ago, 20 years ago. Mr. Daigle, do you remember Shavuos, you wait for Nacht, you wait in Shtibel, you wait for Nacht? I think you may be muted.
Hello, Nacht.
It's very late, yeah. So I believe that there's some shuls who are not makbid on that. This is where those who are makbid, that's where it comes from, to wait for Mariv until the beginning of the commencement of the 50th day indeed. Right, okay. There is more to speak. I also want to speak about Rabbi Feingold, about Hallel. What was the question about Hallel? Why should we not say? Masiyot HaTovim B'Yom is something which is specifically referring to. Normally a Yom Tov warrants a full Hallel. The reason why on Pesach, the last days, we don't is because Masa Yodai. That surely wouldn't apply on... Okay, so... right, so tonight we discussed the halachas of Noshim not doing malachas from Pesach until Shavuos, from Shkia Sechama onwards. Mishnah Berurah says men as well. We mentioned the two reasons in the Mishnah Berurah. We also mentioned many of the minik. It doesn't seem to be universal minik. We spoke about the halachas of Shavuos, in which we learned that the davening is like on Pesach, which has changed the word to Chag HaShavuos. We say the full Hallel. And the Mishnah Berurah taught us that we daven Mariv by Nacht and not earlier than that. Good, that's it for this evening.